Well, good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public School Board of Education work session. Today is August 8th, 2023, and the time is 5:30. Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we stand for the pledge allegiance, please?
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for coming in and for today's work session. As promised, tonight's work session is devoted to the board policies that discussed two different times. And so in your very first set in your packet in front of you, you're going to see our policy 5610, which is emergency removal, suspension, and expulsion of students. Our current policy is there. And then the recommended one sits right behind it. So that's where we're going to start, is on that very first policy. And move forward from there. At our last meeting, it was discussed about should we work off of what we currently have? And so that's why you see the current policy right there. So it would be, I would open it up in a moment here to the board to discuss around, do we take and adapt? Do we actually stay with the current policy the way it is? Or do we begin to adapt the current policy and or look at to the full revision that was being recommended to you, and we just worked through that. So with that, I'm going to kind of just open this up for that discussion, because I think that's an important spot to start, is for you seven board members, you know, where do you live in with our current policy as it is written here?
I forgot when you said it was recommended. Who was it recommended by, Neola? I know when you first presented it, you said that there were other districts that were using the one that you showed us.
Yeah. So that one, that policy that was the current policy was written mainly by Neola. Okay. The revised policy was one that we had worked with Jeremy on, Collins Blaha, that other districts are using out there. And we actually had a board brief back in, I think it was late fall, might have been even, I think it was late fall, talking about just the different options that you had as the board came to discipline, anywhere from where the board currently sits, where anything above 10 days, it's in front of you, all the way to where a superintendent deals with, or a committee deals with expulsions, the board never sees them.
That was before me.
Yeah. So that was a board brief that had come out there. So what we looked at was the practicality of what we were doing and coming into those into our board meetings right there, and really discipline that you were having to do on a short amount of time to make a decision basically off a recommendation of an administration and handing out discipline anywhere from 10 days up to expulsions. And so in that lens, we started to, the cabinet and I, and talking with Jeremy, craft something that was in a palette of where it could live at the administrative level, to then where it could live at a committee level, to where then it lives at the board level of a true expulsion. And that's why we thought for that one recognition. Now, Scott pointed out that in each board is different. I mean, the one policy part that we brought to you had a lot of what would have been the administrative guidelines in there. And Scott's like, the administrative guidelines are more worth it. We all look at more about policy. What is it? Very black and white. And then administrative guidelines get crafted from there. So in that policy, the revision one, you saw in there just a strikeout. So you could see, okay, that it wasn't removed from what was brought to you the very first time. And so that's why it's a starting ground of current policy as the board. Either your choices are really, we're good with it, leave it alone, or no, let's begin to make changes that we talked about. You know, what those changes begin to look like.
One follow-up question, because I was, and I probably won't be able to pull the policy, but it's probably in this pile here somewhere. And it was the policy about using NEOLA for, isn't there one something about utilizing NEOLA for the policies that the, when the people started using it, you said that that's how you're going to use it. And there's actually a process on there about how you communicate with NEOLA. And I don't remember the policy right off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it was a policy. And so where is NEOLA? If we have contracted out our policies to NEOLA and the policies that we've been utilizing, for example, you made me think of the dog one. I think dogs on school property is like 9 pages long, something like that. So there is a lot of other stuff in there that could be determined to fall into a lot of different categories. So where's NEOLA?
So at different times, schools will use, NEOLA brings forth what I want to call the canned policies, okay? Then as a school system, you decide you accept those canned policies or not. When we need to revise a policy and or make it adaptable for our district, that's when we write them ourselves and we work with our council on that revision and or even a very specific policy. Where NEOLA will step in is if you have a something that's occurring that's common around a lot of schools, and they're being requested, they'll write it. There's times where we've seen Collins and Baja, they'll write a policy. There's times that even True, the other big firm that's in the state, they'll write a policy. In fact, I think True might have been, or you guys have been on the lead back when the bullying policies had to come out. We're stopped way in front of that before their stuff. So NEOLA is just the company that really keeps a school district and compliance, that's the way I can say it. And so we don't miss something that's changed out there in the law. And that's really what their job is. So
it's a cost-effective solution for basic compliance. But as versus hiring any other random expert party by the hour to write your own policy, that everybody has to adopt to the law change. And you know what to do, it captured 90% of what you're doing.
It's a good cost effect. Yep. So NEOLA, I guess to help do it, twice a year, we'll get policy updates from them. And sometimes we'll see a brand new policy we've never seen before come in. Other times there'll be a revision to one. Sometimes there might be only a couple things in there. Other times it's a book and it's based on what's happened in Lansing. For example, in Lansing, there's been a lot of laws have been repealed. And regards to collective bargaining. So anywhere in our policies, I'm anticipating here this November and that packet and or our one in February, that's where we're gonna see anything that's in policy be addressed from the old at that point in time in regards to those subjects of bargaining. That's a statewide thing that happened. So with that though, with that policy 5610, current policy, the way it was really said, anything above 10 days goes in front of you as board members. As I've shared before, you guys, saying something. You already know this, that some of the challenge we have is, pulling together a quorum, hitting timelines, being very prudent in working with our students. Other quotes I've heard from board members on this was that, again, we the student for that snippet of time. We are actually, because of the dates we're kind of already at, by the time we see them. I think we had one student that was probably like 5 days left and their suspension was up by the time the board actually heard it. And it was a real short amount that was left on there. And so that's a component there. So like I said, I just want to kind of open it up and hear from each of you or your thoughts on this stuff. So we know where to begin.
Go ahead, Scott. No.
I like what you've done here. It's concise and clear. I do wish that there was more diversity on a committee that reviewed disciplinary cases. I think that would help in terms of justify the decisions that are made, but also allow for a little bit more flexibility when we need to pull together a quorum to see disciplinary cases.
So you're saying if we were to make a change and do the committee style, what kind of diversity are you referring to?
Oh, I think a faculty parent, still a board member or something, but where there's more representation into your case.
Okay.
I guess if you look at the pluses and the negative, I mean, the plus is that we wouldn't have to be here how many days we're here. I guess the negative is, and we've had this discussion over the years many, many times. I guess it's how you look at discipline and how you value education. Like I say, I'd like to be here fewer times, which would be nice, but on the other hand, I know what I signed up for, so I understand that. I always thought that any student being deprived of education, even for like 10 days, is a big thing. Because it's, for us, it's not much. I mean, you know, it's 2 weeks and, you know, we take a vacation longer than that. For a student, if he's even out for 10 days, I mean, he's missing a lot. And can you catch that up? Not always. So that's why we felt that, you know, this is something that we gotta, and I'm not saying go back to something like 2 or 3 days. It's ridiculous. But I mean, I think whatever we do, we have to understand that's going to dramatically impact that student. So I think that they have to be aware of the seriousness of what's happening, and they have to make sure this is not happening. It's got to be the same for everybody, et cetera. And that's kind of why we kind of kept the 19 days up. Because again, if you come before the board, I mean, just like if you go before a judge, I mean, if you're not used to that, I mean, it's intimidating. Okay. So if the student's coming up and seeing 7 people that are his elders, obviously, I mean, he's going to see that that's something very, very serious. So we take this serious. Okay. So I think they should have that impact on their future behavior. I don't know if it does or not, nice, but it'd be nice if we really had some studies. I mean, we know people, recidivism, et cetera. I don't know if that would change it one way or the other. I suppose one thing we should probably look at is the people that went to a different system, how did that impact their education? So, I mean, it's, we can speculate here, but unless we have some empirical data, it's hard to gather. The other thing I'm a little bit concerned with is, and I see that in our new policy, we changed it. Like we had to get one of our versions, we had the superintendent on. I mean, and to me, that's problematic, and it's always been problematic because, again, I want our superintendent to do the right thing, but on the other hand, I want our superintendent to back our behalf. I'm sorry. And I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if he has teachers that's going to come before him with a kid, and, you know, the superintendent's not backing him, well, that's not very good. That's the same thing, I think, for a principal. I mean, if it's a principal of your building and they're not backing you, it's a problem. So I think that's, I think that's why we always kept the board involved as much as we could. Because, again, we want to, you know, have that aura of that. You know, we're not really impartial because I guess we're part of the school as well. But I mean, we're voted and people voted this in.
Right.
Okay, so nobody really has to like us, dislike us, too bad. I don't think our teachers think that we're being disloyal if we don't support them. So, I mean, that's kind of why I think we have used it. But again, I would be open to looking at some empirical data, how other districts were impacted. I mean, I'd like to see that first before I did anything.
Yeah, like when you're saying the empirical data, you're talking about like by having.
Well, like you said that a lot of. Like
repeats?
Well, a lot of people you said have adapted a different version than what we had than Neola has. Now, yeah. What has happened to their discipline? What has happened to school? I mean, did they see any difference?
Yeah. We don't pull that kind of information from a district. I'm not sure I can get to that level. Because what Neola gives, and this is going back to probably when Neola would have accepted, the district would have been given the multitude of choices. All the way from what you chose to.
No, down. Didn't have all those multiple choices because I was on when Neola was on there. And we didn't get all those choices. We got this is the version and that's it.
Okay.
So, I mean, before that, we had MSAB, and that was almost the same. Not a lot of difference. And before that, we did our own. So,
I had a discussion about this with Amy Bischel, who's a board member of Bedford. Mm-hmm. And she was surprised that the board was hearing discipline hearings.
Right.
I don't know if they don't have to go that long. I'm sure they do. But she hadn't experienced any discipline hearings at Bedford. Mm-hmm. She's been on the board, the last 6 months as well. Yeah. So I think it was brought up at a previous meeting and I kind of like the idea where the board is the appeal process. Mm-hmm. If the parent doesn't feel they've gotten proper due diligence from whatever committee that administration has to review and put out the discipline, they'd have the option of going to the board to see if that would change things.
I like that. I appreciate that. And that's what I think, from January forward, okay, since you guys are all part of that, and the number of students that you saw from January forward, how many of those students would have been a true expulsion?
There are quite a few, if I recall.
I would say most, right?
The true expulsion.
Seemed like a lot.
The 59 days, but remember, true expulsion that we really worked hard to define was 59 days, and we're not setting an end date where they have to appeal to come back into the district. And it's actually not that big of a number.
Yeah. At least there's seven.
Yeah.
Seven? How about how many?
In January 4th, we've had 25.
I don't know. I was exhausted.
About roughly seven kids would have probably been a true expulsion. I think in terms of the whole school year, we don't, and that's what she's kind of referring to, is that true expulsion. Now, the appeal side, you might see more, not more, I shouldn't say more, but they have that opportunity there. A true expulsion where you guys have a choice at that point, either, even on true expulsion, you still have those choices that you've always seen. I think above 59 days or whatever, but those would be the cases that you would have been seeing there. So I appreciate your history on this for us and your thoughts too. And Tom, you talking to that other board member.
What board was that, Tom?
What's that?
Bedford.
I had a similar conversation with the Jefferson board member last week, and they see very few front of the board.
Is it because they don't have those actions?
Oh, no, they expel in Jefferson. Yeah, I think my husband teaches there.
I don't know. I don't know nothing about it.
I believe they use the committee as the first step, so the board isn't seeing all of those.
Jump in there.
I like what I remember when we talked about the appeal process, and I know that there was a lot of kind of like it seemed like a little bit of excitement over it. Well, I see a true appeal process is anything that requires a discipline according to policy. Now, we're not talking about a discipline that the student misbehaved in the classroom and they don't want to go out for recess. I don't know what your disciplines are. I'm just giving an example. We're not talking about those kind of things, but the kind of disciplines we're discussing related to policy, I think this family should always have an appeal process. That was one thing I never understood was, I get it, the teachers and everybody does, I'm not suggesting they don't do a great investigation. I'm not suggesting that they don't do all the due diligence, but I always feel like there always should be an avenue for the parents or whoever to come and say, Okay, I don't agree with this at all, because I think that there were things that were included. I mean, you know, in court, people have a right to appeal. Like, I don't think there's anything you can go to court for you can't appeal. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a lot of stuff you can't appeal?
Not a lot.
Yeah. So why wouldn't it look as an appeal process with the disciplines? And the other thing I want to bring up and related to that is the new law that got signed in for the House Bill 4125. That plays a huge impact into these policies going forward. And I'd be happy to share that, or you can share what that is, either or. And I don't believe that's being addressed in here from that standpoint. And the H bill, Whitmer signed it in law, excuse me, Governor Whitmer. I don't remember when I did these notes. It was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And what it will do is it will bar public schools from expelling or suspending a student for more than 10 days for actions by the student that could be reasonably, I worded this word for word, so I'm not paraphrasing, by a student that could be reasonably tied to the student's report of being sexually assaulted, or if someone reports that the student has been sexually assaulted. And this brings me back to the policies way back when I stood in the room that I always talked about, is the school safety zone. Mm-hmm. I brought that up many a times. We never put safety parameters in play once that law got changed from a federal standpoint. Mm-hmm. There are other sexual policies that we could address, but I'm using that as an example of when there is any kind of sexual misappropriation or even in an inkling of it. I do believe the board should be notified of all of those, because remember my rule, I don't want to be on the news. And if they say, you know,
it's in there. Yeah, in the new proposed policy, if you look to referral to discipline for hearing panel, if the student is brought to for discipline due to, number two is committing criminal sexual conduct in school building or school grounds. So it's the new policy that's being proposed.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
So if you're looking at page, I don't have the page number. It's the third page in there.
And we're talking 5610.
Yeah. Okay. And referral to discipline hearing panel.
Okay.
It's under A, if the student, number two, committing criminal sexual conduct in a school building or on school grounds or against another school district student. So it's encapsulated.
That doesn't go with the totality of the law in the way that just read. Your forte, not mine.
I just finished giving a presentation on this in Genesee County. That's where I was coming down the highway from.
Okay, go.
What's PA 57 now, is House Bill 4152 when it started, is supposed to be a Victim Protection Act. That's the idea, is that if a student is identified either by himself or herself or by a staff member or somebody else as potentially being a victim of sexual harassment or assault, and then there's later, within 10 days, it's a short time period, within 10 days of that, they get referred for discipline related to whatever that incident was, right? Reasonably related to whatever that incident was, where they were maybe a victim. We're not allowed to bounce them out on a long-term suspension or expulsion until we get to the end of the Title IX process investigating that alleged sexual assault. Unless, and this is what Mary was just referring to in A there, unless what the potential victim is being referred for is dangerous weapon, criminal sexual assault themselves, or arson, those big three that are always in the statute. If they're being referred for one of those three, or they've pled guilty in court just to assault, not just sexual assault, or you finished your Title IX investigation, then you can go ahead and discipline them anyway. And so I think that's probably why this is captured in here the way it is, because if it's for the arson, CSC, or the dangerous weapon, they can be referred right there.
And those would all go to the police for investigation, correct? Before they would come to us for a...
No, we have to. We have to do a separate one.
Okay.
There. And so you're actually alluding to right here that one is when does that act go into effect? Okay. So for example, the para acts I was discussing, sharing with you, they're not going to go into effect till end of March, next April. Okay. So our policies don't need to reflect that. When the act that you're talking about comes into effect, that's where, again, like with NEOLA, they'd be sending out that update. So yes, as we're crafting this, having Jeremy here, we'll already be a step ahead and craft it appropriately. Now, I love your point, Darla, around the appeal process. And here's why. And I'm going to use our HR director as the example. When we have to go through a disciplinary process with an employee, what step are you?
What step am I?
Yeah.
Number one.
Number one. Okay. But then there becomes that the layer where it can go. The point is, like right now, we as a district in this room right here, the moment we discipline a student greater than 10 days, who do they appeal to?
Right now, nobody.
Nobody. There's no appeal process. It's just, court. There's administrative bringing it forward. Right, but there's but that's a costly, and how many of our family members? Well, there's no, there's not, not that next level. And I go back to, I used to, in a smaller district, you held multiple hats, right? I was the elementary principal, superintendent. That creates a problem because there is no appeal process for when I had to work with a teacher, an employee. So I actually had to create one. So that was a step, I mean, there was another layer there for an employee. So my point to that is, Darla, you're right on the money that what we can, the process we can put together in the creating of an appeal process back to the board is one that could, that can work, because then parents do have that. What you have to figure out is what that number is. Is it at 15 days, is it 20 days? What's that number that a parent then would bring forth and or a student, because students can even request an appeal to the board.
But if I could just one more point on that, because it says that it's also if that student, someone else says, hey, I saw that they were sexually themselves. So how is that affected in here? Because say, okay, I'll use Carrie. Okay. So we are in a situation and someone says, we get into an argument, fight leads to discipline, and he looks over at David, looks over and says, hey, I saw what Darla did to Carrie, and that was inappropriate touching, and that was a sexual thing. So therefore, that changes the discipline. You had to be the aggressor in that one in order for this to play out right. That changes that, because according to this, if the person that's being disciplined was a sexually inappropriately touched, and it's not just students, it's anybody in the system. That's what, and right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm trying to see how that fits into totality.
I think that because that law hasn't taken effect yet, it will in the next few months. She signed it, but it hasn't taken effect yet. I think that we could, like we usually do, include the direct statutory language. A lot of these things come directly from the statute for compliance sake. We could include the clause in there that says pursuant to, it's being inserted at 1310E, I think, if I recall correctly, where they're going to stick it into the existing statute, because it has the House Bill number, it has the Public Act number when it's signed, and then it has a different number when it gets into the MCL. So I think it's a 1310 to create. But once it's inserted into the revised school code, where it's going to go, we'll be able to grab that actual language and say pursuant to whatever the citation is going to be. We're going to follow that, right?
If I'm hearing,
I think we should follow that.
Oh, sorry. But if I'm hearing, Darla,
correctly, how do you
follow that? How do you?
I'm not a lawyer, but
the practical side of how you implement.
Yeah,
that's I think where I, if I'm hearing.
Well, if
right,
we can, if we can look at things, and I think that was how this was started out. We can look at things as a board in the way that we want to see them. We don't have to follow NEOLA. We don't have to follow a standard. We as a board can craft our own and have a lot of leeway as long as we are applicable to what you would tell us to do. You're following the law. So we have that leeway, it sounds like. We're not looking at, I don't see a law attached to this policy.
Can I give a little perspective? I don't want to dominate, but it's not, I don't have a vote in that, but I have a little perspective because I've done this for almost 20 years and for 40 different school districts. So I've seen a lot of different ways to approach. The section that gives the school the authority to do any discipline, suspension, expulsion, it's both of them, section 1311 of the revised school code, gives the board the authority to issue suspensions and expulsions, and gives you the authority to delegate that. So you have the ability to delegate however much of that you want, retain as much as you want. historically, everybody's kind of delegated within the building discipline, right, to the principal. The principal, like you said, whatever, what happens in the classroom, board doesn't need to worry about what's going on within the bill at the building level like that. But if it's more serious, the 10 days isn't actually in Michigan's law, like that 10 day division. The 10 day number comes from an old Supreme Court case where the United States Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court said, we know if you get your student in front of somebody serious, the board, it was a superintendent because the case came from Virginia, the structure differently. But if they get in front of the head authority within 10 days, we know that you haven't violated their due process rights. So that's where that 10 day number came from. So everybody said, okay, we'll get it done by 10 days. We'll take them to the superintendent or the board or whatever. So within Michigan, where the board has all the authority or can delegate it, that's where NEOLA starts as their baseline. So they just start with the board has this authority, you're compliant as long as we do there. Over the last, and it really has been the last 15 years, when I started doing this job in 2005, most school districts were doing it the way that Monroe still does it, where the board heard anything over 10 days. That was pretty par for the course. Over the last 15 years, I would say, the majority of my clients now have moved to some other variation where the board hears appeals of some things, as you've already pointed out, and hears some serious subset of cases, usually surrounding those big three categories, the dangerous weapon, the arson, and the CST, right? That's usually how it shakes out. And then the board has, in different formats across, you know, the 40-some clients that I work with, has either had a committee or else it's just the superintendent or the superintendent and a committee or whatever the case might be. But something else has shed the responsibility for hearing every single thing that's over 10 days. That's been the trend. But the reason NEOLA looks the way it looks is they're not going to tell you, here's all your options. They're going to say, here's compliance. And the compliance says the board has the authority. Well, after that, the board can delegate as much or as little of that as the board wants to, right? But it starts with that grant of 1311 to the board.
Until the board delegates so much, there is no board.
So that's up to the board. So,
but there are some pieces of law that are reflected in the discipline, in that policy. And they have to be in there. For example, we have to, just like when we bring a student in front of the board, we have to look at students' age, disciplinary history, whether or not they have a disability. So there's seven factors. And so that's part of law. So that's in there. That's a compliance. The other points that are in there, as they talk about criminal sexual conduct to conviction, there's certain things that are automatically, that's you see in there as far as that have to be there as law. So that's why, and you look at like a NEOLA policy, even if we were using something from Jeremy's crew, would be MCL is going to be cited at the end. So where did it come from, and or from by school code? So.
But we don't have that on this current policy until now that I've seen.
It does not reflect it there, but it would. Because everything, I'm not sure why it didn't get pulled with. Oh, I know, because it just didn't finish there.
That's 1310D. That was.
Yeah. So if you look at the very, page 5, of the very first part of your packet right there, you're actually going to see, or it says NEOLA 2018, then it's going to say legal. So that's the legal items that would be added there. That does cite, we're pulling the exact same legal items that NEOLA cited. Mm-hmm. Cited there. Thanks, Dr. McBride. All right, so I'm back to the start. I've heard some different conversations around one of, I like the idea of, there's been a lot of talk around the idea of an appeal process. I've heard conversation around what it, some other parameters and what that number could look like and what should be brought to the board right there. So now we kind of have to work towards, now where do we go? Okay, so that's at this next part there. And so is it a crafting off of our current policy, or is it a using a revision and working off of that. And so that's where we need to hear different board members' thoughts here, where you guys really where you're sitting on this.
So the board would hear if we did a
appeals process, the board would hear appeals, correct?
Yep. So what we would do is we'd actually set forth criteria that you would want to, criteria of information you would want. So it wouldn't be just probably the same packet that would come in front of that committee. I would expect that you're going to want to see something else. Okay, back to kind of like, I think, Darla, where I was hearing you, like, what was the investigation like? What were the other contributing factors? All this other stuff that would be more, that could be helpful there. So are there other items that you would want to see that what you've already currently seen in that packet that comes to you? Or would you want to just see, okay, what did that administrator bring? The administrator comes forward and presents the exact same material that they presented to the committee. You know, is there, and that's my point, is there anything else that you
would... Well, it would have to be what was determined that led to the disciplinary decision. I mean, if you had 10 things that led to it, I don't think presenting 8 of those is going to be beneficial. If you had 5 things, I don't, you know what I mean? I think that you would have to present what led to that. So, you know, in an investigation, you can have a packet of information at once. We used to have 2 investigations all the time. They can be very lengthy and they can be very time consuming. A lot of information presented. But when you narrow it down, you say, these are the criteria for which I made that decision. And that decision was based on A, B, C, and D. And then that is what the parent says, hey, I disagree with this based on, and it's going to have to be the criteria that was presented, and say, that is the criteria that we use. That is the criteria the parent or someone has a problem with. And that is what we bring forward. That kind of makes sense to me, but that's how my brain...
I think what Andy is asking, and maybe I'm incorrect here, Andy, you're asking, should the same evidence be brought new before the board, or should just the errors that the committee committed bring?
Well, it's back to like what I think is really what Darla is saying there is, is there, does the parent or the student say, no, that investigation was done incorrectly, and here is where I believe it was done incorrectly, so they present that, so then the administrator would then have to present then that side. So it could only be like one part of it. What I was also, where I was going is that if an administrator recommends to the committee, for an example, a 45-day suspension for X, okay? And the parent goes, I believe 45 days is just too much, all right? So now they're gonna bring that forward to you. Is all the information you're going to need the exact same packet there? Or I go back to what we struggled being forward with is there other information that the board should also be provided that no, maybe we should,
I think when you bring everything back to denote, I think basically anew, or if it's strictly an appeal, you just appeal the issue that you have a problem with.
That's what I
think that's what we're probably getting at. But I mean, I see the benefit of each, but as a board, I mean, maybe the parent has a problem with 45 days, but I want to see more than the time. In other words, I want to see if the committee, I mean, if the committee has discretion to go up to 45 days and I look at it and they use the discretion, that's the end of it. But I want to see maybe a little bit more myself. I would want to see a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about how did this occur? So, what the circumstances? What is your schooling history look like? What is your disciplinary history look like? Because to me, it matters, even though it may not matter to them.
I think the one piece of criteria you would get that would be of new would be how did the committee come make that decision for that number?
True, but I mean, let's say we say the committee can expel up to 45 days as long as they looked after this. 5 factors for it. So we look at, did they look at 5 factors? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, they did. Do they have discretion in 45 days? Yes, they did. Goodbye, you're out of here.
That's
an appeal. That's an appeal on one side. The other one's de novo, which we bring everything back up before the board.
Oh.
Bring in a new.
Yeah, if I see the case, I want to see the case.
Yeah, you would want the number 2.
De novo.
Right? Yeah, I'm sorry.
And do we think that we just added another step to this that never was going to be anyway?
So, well, that's what I was thinking.
I agree, Larry.
You know,
that's what I think I'm wanting.
We put in all these appeals processes and we're still going to make the same decision. Are we really saving anybody time?
I think we're adding to it.
We shouldn't just automatically.
I'd say the bulk of the parents just accept it and they.
And I think that's sad.
That is sad.
But it's true.
But they don't have an appeal process with the, in the system right now.
But they haven't expressed the interest. If I was a parent and I thought my child was getting incorrect discipline, even though the board, in the board, the way it's set up today, I'd say, wait a minute, I don't agree with this. What are my other options?
But Tom, that's why we're sitting at this table, right?
Nobody's brought that up.
Yeah.
In one of our discipline hearings.
A lot of times they don't want to say anything at all. Or they agree with the discipline.
Or they're terrified before sending it before the board, they're intimidated.
Or they're drunk.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, we do, a lot of times.
Another factor you have is. Remember how there's been, there was times this past year where we would look at timelines. We're approaching the end of a third trimester, approaching the end of a semester, all that stuff, right? And so there are different times we're looking at going, man, we need that number to be smaller. And there's times that the administration would probably like to see that number smaller. You know, like maybe it's a 15 day based on what has occurred and because of past history, but then at a time, by the time they actually get to the board meeting, that can't happen because it's already gone there. So that's where there's that fluctuation of with that number. That's why when we're kind of really putting together the three levels of really it comes to the board. And then you, if you were to establish it, for example, anything above 25 days would be appealed, can maybe appeal to the board and it's a regular hearing. Then, you know, that's what you're going to see at that point in time. And you're right. Some parents may, if they feel like, you know, my kid should not have been suspended or whatever the rationale, they want to bring it to you. How many you're going to see, you know, can't sit here and tell you that, but based on what we kind of saw,
we'll see.
I honestly believe too that you would actually see a change in again how we do our discipline, because I think you would see a range of suspensions that would be quite a bit different than what is being presented to you. Okay, and again, it goes back to time. Larry, I do hear what you're saying around the idea of supporting, you know, the administration and or supporting the teachers right there. And there's been a lot of times where we've looked at it and the administration's like, we're good with you guys making any changes and or know that we have to honor this and they know there's going to be a change. There was a time when I brought a student to the board for expulsion. I had a conversation with my board president going, look, I'm doing this only because he had had one of those airsoft. So it was, okay. And was dinking around, and I said, I've got no choice, so I'm leaving it to you. And if whatever you guys decide to do, I'm good with, because I knew if they expelled, I'm good with that. If you do anything different, I'm good with that. So it wouldn't have created that kind of a pressure point there.
No, I wonder, Andy, if we're maybe talking about a different issue. You say sometimes they come before us and there's only 2 days left. Are we then talking about a speedy hearing as opposed to the disciplinary hearing? In other words, we're not meeting soon enough?
Yeah. So would you, so I look at this, a principal, if we have a student that has been removed from the school, investigation is occurring, and they've got all the information going, okay, now we're going to implement the discipline phase of it, that we've got it all done. Now, at that point, we got to turn it around, right? And so the idea of turning around, as like Scott was alluding to, you know, you see you got an administrator on there, you got a teacher on there, you might have a parent, you got this group. You can turn one of those around very quickly, almost like next morning kind of a thing, saying, okay, at 10 o'clock tomorrow, we can have the packet in your hands here today, and we can hold it that quick and keep us moving so kids are back in.
Well, you know, or so, vice versa. But that's a different issue, isn't it? I mean, that's a basically saying that the hearings are not timely, I think is what you're saying. In other words, if you could gather the board the next day, then you would have no issue, right? So I guess we're talking about timing as opposed to.
Timing and or still, I would even venture to guess though, that, and this is just a guess, just being honest with you, that if I'm an administrator and I have to bring it in, come in front of the board, I mean, how many 20-day suspensions did you all see?
Nothing.
You don't see 20-day suspensions?
Right.
Kids go from 9?
To
45.
That's where they go. There's nothing in between.
And to kind of go along with that, I know especially Darla and I had lots of conversations at discipline hearings about this murkiness around what expulsion actually is, right? And I feel like not discussing the appeals process and what that is, but if a student was to progress through the disciplinary policy in like the closed manner without doing an appeal, the only time that we would see a student is for a true expulsion. It is out of Monroe Public Schools. We're not providing services. We're not doing virtual. We're not doing any of that. It would give us that clarity when it comes to all of the, because there's so many other fail safes between the 10 days and expulsion now. So I feel like that kind of clarity might help. I really do like the appeals process. And Scott, I think you bring up a good point in looking at an addition of possibly a board member of somebody else in that initial panel that gets together. Because I do understand that the teachers and the staff and the administrator of the building, they have institutional knowledge. They have historical knowledge with that student, but I feel like you might need somebody that's removed from that scenario to be a counterpoint to that.
That's the board
in some way. Yeah. So like, but instead of having to get a quorum of the board together, which is a struggling, it's a scheduling nightmare. I would think that in that initial panel, if we could have a board member, that might be a nice counterbalance.
A pool of people within different categories. And that would allow for expediency in terms of getting people. I mean, right now, Jamie tries to get us together and get X number of us together at one time. Mm-hmm. If she only had to pull one from us, one from a pool of faculty, one from a pool of staff, she could very quickly assemble a review of a case.
Right.
For us. And remember, we did have a case this past year where the parent was very upset with, hey, my child has already been out for the X number of days. Now, granted, we continued that trend, but she's right.
So,
but I mean, if it's just timeliness, I mean.
Oh, it's not just timeliness.
I mean, if that is, sounds like that's the issue, I mean, why don't we just set, I mean, I think most of us have Tuesdays set aside anyway. Why don't we just set the opposite Tuesdays for hearings? I mean, if that's the issue.
That was my question, is just for the couple of years that I was here, or a year and a half, whatever it was, that I was here sitting in the audience, was there, in prior years to do that, you could just give me the history there, was there a historical problem of meeting and having those hearings and getting a quorum of people together to be able to do that, or is this a new phenomenon that has just arisen?
Actually, before this board, maybe the other board, very seldom do we ever meet when seven people were not present. Very seldom.
Including on discipline
hearings. Everything.
Yeah. So I like your idea because I was actually thinking.
Well, I'm saying if that is the issue, if time is the issue, which may be, I understand. I mean, I think what we did, I think Bob Yost, is that he said, but Tuesday, if we don't have a meeting, we're going to set them back for disciplinary hearings. If we have some, we'll hear them. If we don't, we kick it off till the next hearing.
I think
that's how we dealt with that.
I think time is an issue. Right. I think diversity of perspective is another issue.
Yeah, right. Which is a different issue. Right?
And I even think that we as a group kind of slowly merge the way we view disciplinary cases. And I will say, I value Mary's perspective because of her, you know, her knowledge of students, but we would have more of that if we had someone in the school as a part of that.
The only thing that scares me a little bit is that I'm just an officer, to be honest with you. I'm not concerned about the kid that smokes. I don't need to hear that one. But if there's something that's going to be serious, that's going to say somebody versus the Board of Education, i.e. Monroe Board of Education, I'd like to know what I did and what I did wrong. And if I'm going to help be responsible for it, I like to say, well, yes, this was my decision, and that's it. I don't want to say, well, some parent who's long gone, you know, has no accountability, held me to some standard that they shouldn't have. That's the only thing I'm worried about in that one. But I do understand the diversity there, which is good.
So honestly, going back to your Oxford, I'm hoping that the system we talked about yesterday helps to bring those cases out earlier rather than the day of Oxford.
That was years later.
That was the issue of Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech.
Parkland as well.
They all knew who the person was separately, but that knowledge never came together in a collective way to say, hey, we need to intervene.
Hindsight is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a thousand hitter of hindsight.
I'm kind of a different subject, but it says, like, most economists have predicted 9 out of 5 past recessions. So I think it's the same thing, you know? So, yeah, I mean, looking back, yeah, we could tell that, but, you know, we could tell 10 other ones, but they didn't happen.
I'm waiting for my flux capacitor.
Right.
So I value the conversation, what I'm hearing as a collective group. And so kind of bring it together of what I hear, because it's still kind of, there's concern, okay, and what could this all look like? What I can share with you is the professionalism that you have in your administrators and what happens in your systems, okay? I think that's the key. You want to create, and here in Darla, you want to create a safeguard that if the system fails down here, there's an appeal process to address the failure.
Okay. Because it will. There's no 100% with that.
Well, sure. Life. But that's so you create that safety net, and then it can be that you have that appeal process as that safety net. And for some parents, it's a feel good. They can say, well, okay, I do have the ability to appeal to the board, and we inform of that. So we at the committee meeting, they would hold it, issue the discipline, and understand that here is your document stating the timelines that you have if you should desire to appeal this to the Board of Education. And so there's a document they would receive at that point in time.
Let me put another thought before us. I mean, a lot of parents come and say, we don't really have a problem. I'm thinking, why am I here? Is there, and I don't know if we can do this or not. I mean, can they simply waive it and say, we accept the principal's recommendation? Without, I mean, we can't do that for ours and stuff like that. I understand that. But the small ones, I mean, those are the ones that I feel that I've wasted my time.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, that's how I do discipline at the college. I have a form. Here's what we found. And the question is do you agree with the findings and the outcome?
Yeah, right.
Or not.
What do they call that? What do they call that? A plea deal. Right? They go, here's the consequences, this is the back.
I really think there's a language for this.
So I'm going to throw the scenario out there. So I'm a high school principal,
okay.
And we'll use Larry as the example here. Larry has done X. Now, I have a form right here, and I've proven, I've got Larry's parents in here. This is what's happened. Larry's suspension, you have the following three choices. I can issue the suspension and go in front of a committee, or it can go in front of the board because it's greater than 10 days. Now, at that point in time, I would not disclose what my suspension date would be. I don't think until we've talked this out further, but the idea is that then I would be empowered to issue, unless the due process rights, you know, make sure that we follow our due process rights.
So the kids have quote unquote minimal due process rights. That's from the Supreme Court. The notice, that's your handbook, it's gotta be published, and the right to be heard by somebody.
So Larry,
back to fifth-line smoking.
Maybe get back to Jeremy. Can that be waived, though, if they voluntarily say, you know, we understand our rights have been explained to us?
We have to provide them the opportunity to be heard. They do not have to speak. So.
Okay.
So they don't get random rights.
So, for example, I've got Larry's parents in there and said, okay, fifth time that Larry's been smoking and understand that that is greater than 10 days. I can even tell him, going, he has a 20-day suspension coming, or you can go in front of our committee of three, or you have the option of the board. What is your druthers?
See, to me, I would cut that short, and I would stay with the first one. And I'm saying, if he's going to agree, you know, there's no problem. If he's going to disagree, he's probably going to disagree with the committee and the committee to the board. So it's puts in one additional step that's not needed. So if he's agreeable to it, I would say, and if not, come before the board, because you really are going to disagree, I think, all the way through. And then you're wasting our time.
That can't be just a student's decision.
No, well, no.
That would have to be a parental decision.
No, parents, the parent is there, because the parent has to be. This is greater than, I mean, well, even when we issue anything less than 10 days, the parents are part of it. They're informed
not
of
just sending
this.
The kid home.
Well, no. They can also appeal at that point.
No, they
can appeal discipline, not about expulsion, but some parents are very familiar with the appeal process.
So there is an appeal process.
There used to be. There is not one. There once
right,
was.
But I'm just saying to you, people exercise that right when they had it.
When they had it. There used to be one a long time ago, and so...
A long time ago in the dark ages.
Yeah, so that appeal process actually created our baseball issue that we dealt with this past spring.
Yeah.
Okay? So, and when we started searching the student handbook and other areas, like, it's not there. We don't have an appeal process that would happen. But let's ratchet it up. One that you guys have seen many times. Video evidence. He and Jeremy in a fight. We can obviously see that this started right here, and this fight was pretty severe. He up a 45-day suspension. Okay, so again, we're at the spot where I'm going to go back to now. Jeremy's not been the one in the fight. Jeremy's back to being our attorney, and that he.
How convenient.
As the building principal, I can have the parents in there. We're showing the video going. Here it is, because we blotted out everything else. I can issue a 45-day suspension, or I can make the recommendation to the board. You have the choice. Which would you like? And they've seen all the facts, all the information. I'm not going to go present anything different from the board than what you've already just seen right here. Would that be acceptable?
Yep, as long as you publish it in your policy and handbook.
Okay.
That would be legally compliant. As long as you publish notice of how that process will work in your policy, okay. And then the details in the handbook.
So then I go to Terry and Cindy, who have been a part of our system for a few years and have been administrators in our system, say it in the other terms I've used before. But for that right there, think about our current administrators. Is that a world that they would like to live in, or do you think they'd much rather live in the world of, I've got two choices, you guys. We have the fight right here. I'm going to be recommending a choice of 45-day suspension either in front of the Board of Education or a hearing committee. You make the choice there. So where does the principal, where does our administrators, where would they rather live? I think that's the part we need to take into accord to.
I don't see wasting your time on the committee would be productive if a person didn't get a chance to waive. Because, I mean, if they're not waiving, they are going to go full. They're going to go full blast. So they'll come to the board anyway.
Destroy our appeal process if we do it that way.
Well, at that point in time, if you've already, you there wouldn't be appeal process because the parent would have already said,
"I want to see the board."
I'm not even going to take what the principal's offering. Going straight to the board.
So that would basically be their appeal.
Right.
But to Larry's point, mm-hmm. if you give them that choice in that scenario,
yeah,
you have them sign the form that says, "I'm accepting the principles, and yep. I'm not going to ask for any further review," something.
And I waive any rights that I may have before the board or God knows whatever, not it is.
But that's where I would like to add that choice of, no, I don't agree with this. I want to appeal. If there was a diverse committee, then you could still be on it. And I think your opinion that we don't get right now of, you know, I've seen Larry's various malfeasances and you can weigh in on that. I think that's of value, which we don't get right now. I mean, we get a sheet that says they've done this, well, sheets often,
well,
they've done this,
invited,
this.
Yeah.
Well, that's different though. This is now that are on the selection committee to be a part of it. And so we can get a little bit more of the flavor of, instead of we have this sheet, right? Hey, this person has really impacted this life. When you look at that, you see that particular fight, someone really got injured there. It's not just a line that we're reading, you know, that this is someone who's done something. We get a little bit more history because we have someone within the school who can say, yeah, I remember it. I mean, that teacher's no longer here because that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. We lost a good teacher that day.
And to get to your point, Scott, I go with Larry. I mean, the teacher that actually saw it would be great. I mean, I don't see any value of Andy saying this is what the teacher told me because, again, you know, he's just telling us
something different.
Yeah. But I mean, if somebody actually saw it, that's.
Oh,
it's
yes. Right. Yeah. But I'm not talking about the teacher there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about an appeals committee that would involve someone from the school as a staff or a faculty. It might just have a little bit more history.
So there won't be, I'm just, again, throwing this a thought out there. This conversation has been vital because I like the idea, Larry, what you're sharing, especially around give the power to your administrator. Parent has had an opportunity to be a part of that right there, and there's the evidence. Now, I can issue it, okay, or you have the option to have a committee, like what you're describing, review it, and they're going to either concur, and if they don't concur, then they'll send it to the board on your behalf. So you can have a level where that committee would be, I'm throwing out an idea, that's all it is.
I just don't care for the committee, because I seen this purpose in it.
Okay.
That's just my thought. I mean, I understand diversity is great, I understand that, but I mean, come to the board, let's cut through it, let's get them in and out as fast as possible, get them expelled or whatever that we're going to do.
So in this model that you're shaping right now is a very workable one, is how I'm envisioning this until council tells us different, because as long as we've written it up in a way and we've honored the student and the parent, so they can see it. Obviously, we have to train, because you don't ever want to be thought of coercion into that, because at the end of the day, like, these are the facts. You can take my discipline that I'm issuing, or you can take it to the board. It doesn't matter for what's happening right here. But then that beautiful part is, that's for any suspension up to 59 days.
Oh, up to 59.
Because at 59 days, well, 58 days, yeah, I'm sorry, 59 days, 60th days.
60th days expulsion.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, because you mentioned earlier that the big three infractions, those treated differently, they automatically go to
the board? So the only way that those would be treated differently, maybe that's where you'd have to implement the committee. Those are implemented, again, I'm going to let you pop in on this one.
No, there.
Become a factor if one of the seven criteria aren't met, okay, to where then you have to, I believe. So where did I?
No, that's fine. That's kind of the dividing line a lot of boards have sorted out at, where they just want to hear it, period, as if it's for an expulsion per se. Those categories, dangerous weapon, CSC, and arson, must be recommended to the board as an expulsion, so that the administrator, when they fit it into that category, that's why you always get those. And the administrators don't have the discretion to say, well, he didn't really mean it as a weapon, so I'm just going to take care of it as a knife. They have to take those to the board as an expulsion. At the board level, you have the discretion. If you find one of those factors applies, he didn't know he had it, it was his dad's coat, et cetera, et cetera. You have the discretion at the board level, but it needs to be brought to the board as a recommendation for expulsion for those kids. So in that sense, if the board was going to hear all expulsions, those would be captured within that. Like if you said 60th day, that's the expulsion line in the statute now, which I'm so glad they did, because there used to be three different descriptions of what an expulsion was in the revised school code. Now we have one. It's any removal over 60 days or more. So the 59th day after that, it's an expulsion. So if you're going to say the board's automatically going to hear the 60th day and beyond, then you're going to get all of those category and others. Like really bad fights, if the administrator says this was a bad enough fight, he should be expelled, that's coming to you too. So.
Yeah. Just a quick, oh, go ahead.
Sure. If the repeat offenders, they're always over 59 days, aren't they? Or...
If they come for a habitual offender to you, yes.
But that's where,
the category we like.
With what you're describing right now, though, so I'll go back to, I'm the building principal, and so I've issued a 10-dayer, and then 2 months later, it's a similar type of offense. All right, here's your 15 days. Now we're 25 total days for a similar offense. And, you know, we keep climbing. Like, okay, now we're at a point where there's a behavioral contract, there's some put in place. And understand the next time we visit together, we're bringing you in front of the board. Because we do come to those lines right there with parents. And so that would then be in front of you as a board as a recommendation for permanent expulsion. Okay. So, but yeah. I was just looking at those big ones right there. They would be coming in front of you. Now, at the end of the day, that dangerous weapon, you know, we've seen where we've had kid with that knife in their pocket.
Yeah.
And we've seen that situation. Still come in front of you. You're going to get a chance to make a decision. That would still be there. And then you would be making a decision as an expulsion or as something different. Okay. But that would be there.
In addition to that, having went through these policies, as I'm sure all of you have, and I was comparing the policy that was originally presented from you, and then the strikeout one. And when I was comparing the one that was presented originally, that follows along with the rest of our other policies. For example, the dog policy and the animal policy, pages and pages. Because there are criteria and standard things in there that'll be like, okay, you can decide like, you know, these things, but this must be. And so in the structure of the policies, as I went back and looked at them, and I pulled a few of them, and in the allocation of time, we can go through them or not, where those kind of things must be included. Because in order for a system to be able to delve out discipline in a uniform manner, when you have so many parties involved, there has to be a policy. And that policy can't be carte blanche. And it can't be a random interpretation. There has to be some structure to it. And I think if we pull out that structure, what is in here is the same kind of structure that's built into our other policies. And that was my look at that. In addition to that, I know when we first brought this policy up before we were looking at strikeouts and removals, I had brought up we're talking about charges. I mean, students are being charged, like it says, oral and written notice of charges. That gets down to, and I know I brought these up before and I got a mark, notice of expulsion. And it's going to be sent to the juvenile division of the probate court between the ages 6 and 15 years old. So are those kind of things maybe in our original ones that I'm not seeing or what?
So those were, again, that was where that was rewritten. And so this was a policy king that Council Baugh had written for.
I'm just addressing it because aren't we reviewing
those? And so in that school district up at Taylor, because of the scope of that district, and I was thinking about the size of our district where they wanted to inform the juvenile division that this child had been expelled.
Well, 6 to 15 will be sent to juvenile division, but 16 and 17-year-old may be sent. And so those are the kind of language things that are in here, and there's a lot of those kind of things within here that I think are things that if we have the ability as the board to interpret things in the way we want with some latitude, I don't like charging a student. I don't, it's like a crime. Like, I get it, you're disciplined and you're breaking school policies, but let the legal system do a criminal sentence if the school feels like it needs to be referred to the resource officers or whatever.
Yeah. couple of, if I can.
Go ahead.
A couple seconds.
I was looking at you anyways.
Yeah, I could take a hint. The notice to the criminal justice system and the juvenile probate court system, in certain circumstances, are required after the board has made an expulsion. That has changed over time. I say that in that order because our experience-based recommendation to our client is to make the big categorical calls, the macro-level calls, how you want to structure that we're talking about in your policy. In fact, I think you spoke to this at a prior meeting. And then details of implementation leave to the superintendent to follow up on, essentially. So put in your regulations at the superintendent level. So put the board policy, the superintendent has to follow the law on whatever notice is required. That changes from time to time. In the superintendent level, at the board or the administrative regulations, say right now it's going to say from 6 to 15, it's this referral, from 16, 17, it's this referral. You know, the one that you just cited, Darla, I don't have that particular one memorized. So that it's current and it's flexible. You don't have to have a meeting to say, we'll follow the new law. Well, we already said we'll follow the law, and then the superintendent needs to say current with what the law is at that point in time. That fits with the overall approach of having, because fundamentally all authority for all discipline starts with the board. That's that section 1311 of the school code, right? So the board could just say the board has the ability to discipline students and we'll let you know. Well, that's a little too vague, right? So we recommend calling it out in those big categories of structure, like Darla said. Put in the board is going to hear all expulsions. I'm paraphrasing right now, but the board's going to hear expulsion hearings, 60 days plus. It's going to the board at the end. The board is also going to be available to hear at the parent's discretion this category of the lesser. If the parent says, we're going to accept the principal, have them sign, right? Good. Otherwise, they get to come to the board. And then below a certain level, it's building discipline, and the board doesn't need to be involved in. And then in terms of things that say you're going to publish the proper notice and you're going to give parents the form, you're going to create a form, put that in the superintendent's level of administrative regulations, because you can be more nimble then. You can adapt that as you need to. So. The real question is really, like, how much does the board want to absolutely retain? And that's kind of the fundamental question.
I also think that in response to that, and I get where you're coming from, and I get it's like, let's just make it a one-pager and be done with it and let them handle the rest. I don't see policy as the same way. I see policy as having a little more structure to it and having a little more oversight, because the board is an oversight board. And so when we look at this policy in particular, like, if there is a policy that's well-defined, like the other policies that we have, I mean, we could go through a whole bunch of them here and look at what they look like and know that this follows actually the policy as it's going. And I'm talking in circles here, but my thought is coming through, is that we will have less discombobulation down the road if we are operating from a sound policy that has not details, but highlighted areas, just like we do in our policies. Because I was really shocked to find that the animal policy on school property is that many pages long. So if you look at it, why is it that many pages long? Well, because of the same reason this one is proposed to be, what, 5 pages?
And that's where, yes, and the policies can be that length there. So in the due diligence of time, I wanted to just bring this one. I think if I heard, and this is where I need an objection, but I feel as though we're at a spot where if you would allow me with Jeremy to craft what this new policy would look like, to where providing the principal the authority to a sign off measure with the parents there to accept the discipline up to that 59th day, and or anything above 10 days, okay, because we're still going to keep short term suspension in the building at 10 days or less. Okay, that's still short term suspension. No appeal, that we're going to live there. But anything greater than that it could end up in the board or the parent would accept the principal's recommendation.
You know, just my thought, and I know we normally don't have an appeal for 10 days, but But if a person really, really values education, 10 days is 2 weeks. You can get lost in 2 weeks. I mean, if that person really, really wants to, you know, I mean.
But we're still providing, they're still in that 10-day period provided education, still providing all the materials.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, we understand that's, certain people can't do virtual, certain people aren't going to, right, there's the home teachers and stuff, they're not going to thrive on that. So, I mean, it's, I don't know how we do that, because again, those time period, but.
I thought when you were talking about it earlier, it was any discipline besides a, in a normal classroom, day to day, you know, so, hey, you're not.
So you get, you could.
I misunderstood.
So as a board, you can make that decision here tonight, or not tonight, help guide us in the idea that I'm a principal, I'm going to hand out a suspension. You're 1 day, okay? 59 days. Larry's here, his parents here. Larry is going to receive a 3-day suspension for this. You have a choice of accepting mine, or you take it to the board.
Which is fine. I can live with that.
That's what I was posing right here.
Now, granted, not many people are going to take a lot, but I mean, you know, the people that really, really value education, they may do that.
We're going to give you a situation that occurred this spring at Custer Elementary. We had a group of students that decided to create a podcast, and the podcast is extremely inappropriate. Yeah, we won't go any further than that. And it was
created. Your face got red, Jeremy.
I'm warming up. It was created on school grounds, okay? And this one was handed out. And we had two moms. One mom was like, oh, I get it. Yep. We had another mom. She was just beside herself and couldn't believe that her son was going to receive, I think it was even maybe 7 or 8 days. Okay. They created a podcast that is so disgusting on school grounds using school technology. All right. So my point to where it is, what are you... If we try to work on that 10-day marker, I'm not sure we can turn a board around that quick, because what I as a parent would say is, my child is out of school until that board hearing happens.
Which may be fine. I mean, that may be the way it is. I mean, but I mean, I think...
But it's not.
We just had the whole conversation that almost nobody will ever do this.
No, but we should have a designated time. Maybe.
No, what we started with, everybody's going to appeal. And now it's, well, nobody's going to appeal.
Maybe I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah. But I mean, let's say, for example, you had those three people and this one student that admitted he's did it. The other ones had nothing to do with it. We just got bad information, okay? But never let, well, no, I'm not saying that's facts. Let's say assume that was facts. But I mean, you know, if that was true, I mean, why should that person even spend 10 days out if they had really nothing to do with it? And I don't know if they did or not. Again, we didn't hear it.
Goes back to the investigation building level principle and really disaggregating that out there to not break.
So then we would be seeing more discipline
and this is where I think we can flesh this out further. But again, we're going to call this, cut this short in about 1 minute so everyone can get a break and move in. Is that we will have a demand from a parent then that says, you can't convene a board meeting for my child until next Tuesday, for example. And today is Tuesday. And so then that child, let's give it, say it was a fight, because that's usually the one right there, and goes, well, I'm going to take it to the board, but you can't put my kid out at any time. So now the kid that just got beat up
has that other student back in the building next day
and tell the board to hear the. So that's why I think.
Or he's going to have an 11th day. He's going to be back to it. I mean, doesn't matter. But I mean, let's say Carrie and I did a video, okay? I actually did the video, the bad video, okay? Yeah. You suspend me, and I said, oh, I did do it. Carrie did. We said, well, we're going to suspend Carrie too. I mean, shouldn't Carrie have a right to come before the board and say, I don't even know the guy, or I had nothing to do with it, or I don't know anything about the videos? I mean, why should she be expelled for 10 days when she actually did nothing?
That's where, but wouldn't we trust our administrators at that point that they would be that out?
I don't think it was play trust into it. I mean, we're all professionals. I mean, they do their job, and we know that you're going to go do your good job. Like, I don't want to say, well, if we don't support it, then we don't trust that they've made the right decision. We're all human.
Right.
We're just saying, hey, maybe, I mean, people can make mistakes is all we're saying.
Point.
And if a person is, if Carrie is really innocent, why should she spend 10 days out when for her, it's very, very important that she spend every day in class?
We don't I honestly say and speak on behalf of every administrator. We have suspending a child is the second most painful thing to do.
Nice.
The first one most painful thing to do is to then make that phone call to a parent.
Yeah.
I wear these sessions all the time.
Yeah.
But when we have these, we kick kids out. I mean, that's, I'll tell you, I don't sleep at night sometimes thinking,
It's a bunch of one thing, Carrie won't hang out with you anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm still going to blame her.
So allow us to begin drafting, okay? And that's all it'll be a draft. And we'll walk this slowly here. And then those other two policies will come out of, and what I mean, the process, and the same will end up being created.
The other policies like seclusion and those policies.
But those are not, those seclusion restraint is specific to seclusion and restraint, in that it has nothing to do with student discipline.
For some reason, I thought they were like in a package together.
Protection.
That one's a long policy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one, yeah.
That's a long
policy. That one basically handed out quarterly, but it's non disciplinary.
Extensive training on it before school starts.
Woo! Okay, can I get a motion to adjourn this meeting?
So moved.
Second show of hands.
All right. 59.